This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
Beatrice Wallen, 845, one of the premier amateur women's golfers in the country and a member of Florida State's team, will be here. Second appearance.
That would be number two.
We got a lot of ground to cover with Beatrice Wallen.
Heading to Augusta. Wish we were.
And 830, Dallin Cuff will be
Why
here.
Why doesn't the ESPN executives, ACC Network, don't they think we would be not a perfect golf show at Augusta National for that coming up?
I think they have Scott Van Pelt, Barry. They have Scott's legions of other folks involved in some of their productions.
Yeah, but wouldn't we be like the perfect appetizer to make sure like all the equipment works at Augusta? Just send us down there for that event. we'll get all the kinks out. So when the big time talent like Van Pelt and the rest of them come rolling in there, and let them do their thing.
Yeah,
you know, I would sacrifice a couple days down there, wouldn't you, to do the show from Augusta?
Yeah, Scott Van Pelt's the NSMA National Sportscaster of the Year.
He's a Hall of Famer, right?
No, just the National Sportscaster of the Year.
So he's not a Hall of Famer?
Not yet. He will be one day, I'm sure.
Because I think he's awesome.
He is excellent. I agree with that. He was on with us during the curtain call game.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
He was fun. We had a good time.
I think we'd be good for that.
I'm sure we would.
We're going to talk about Augusta National with Beatrice, right?
Yeah, we're going to have a great time. I'm interested to kind of hear her talk about the Augusta Women's National
Invitational. They don't have to fly us. Well, get the Ford F-150. We can get down there. I know gas is expensive. I'll sacrifice that for us to do that.
I talked to one of the ESPN college football executives yesterday who told me he just purchased a Ford F-150.
Smart man.
Yeah, just like you, riding around, except he got the new one.
Well, mine's new if it was 2010.
Yeah. 12 years ago.
Right.
Yeah.
It's good math there. You're on top of your game today, Durham.
Right there.
Impressed with that.
Once a day. All right. Virginia's season has come to a conclusion last night. Cavaliers, in a weird kind of irony, didn't hit free throws, details game, missed shots, and at the end, 52-51 is the final. Kihei Clark had a drive late. Osuni blocked it, A-10 Defensive Player of the Year. Ball game over. Virginia's season comes to an end. The Bonnies, the Fighting Woges, go to New York City for the NIT semifinals. There's the final drive by Kihei Clark.
And St. Bonnie earned it. Listen, one at Colorado, one at Oklahoma, one at Virginia.
Yep.
And here they are waving goodbye to everybody. But, you know, like I said earlier today with Virginia, kind of a weird year.
Yeah.
And I mentioned the fact that, you know, they started the season losing at home to Navy, ended the season losing at home to St. Bonnie's.
Yeah.
In between, they had some highlights that destroyed Providence, who you'll see this week. They take on Kansas. They swept Miami. You'll see Miami play later this week as they take on Iowa State. They won at Duke. Great shot by Beekman. You'll see Duke later on this week against Texas Tech. Then they have strange losses. They lose at home to Clemson by 17. They just had strange moments this year, good and bad.
No, you're right.
But at the end of the day, Tony Bennett, you know, brilliant coach, great program, knows he's got to get better players. He's got to increase the offensive productivity of his teams to be able to take it to the next level, which they have certainly been accustomed to.
Yeah, I think that Virginia's – it's a detailed situation, and as we said in hour one, if this is a bridge, they'll be fine. You know, from getting from one side to the other in terms of the continuity and the expectation we've become accustomed to with Tony Bennett's program. Jaden Gardner can come back, Armon Franklin, Reese Beekman, Cafaro, Caden Shedrick is a young guy I'd be excited about from a potential standpoint. I thought he'd give you flashes this year in ball games where you could really buy into who he was as a player. So, yeah, I would I'd tell you that I think Virginia's a lot closer than people think. However, you got to find guys who can give you offensive numbers night in, night out. You can't throw those 13-point halves up. You know, it just doesn't work that way.
And 17 last night.
Yeah.
I mean, it's hard to win games when you can't get to 20 at halftime.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just say whatever. I don't care how great your defense is. And going back to I mentioned earlier, you know, to me, Texas Tech, which Duke's going to play tomorrow, they have some Virginia similarities, just suffocating defense, but there's times where they don't score the basketball. So I think if you're a Duke fan getting ready for that game, you got to hope you can make some shots and put some offensive pressure on Texas Tech to score. But for Virginia's sake, as we put an end to their season, you know, you still win 20-plus. Like I said, you did some good things.
Yep.
The defense is still solid. But offensively, that's got to improve immediately.
Yeah, you were 14th in the league in scoring at 62 points a game.
That's hard to do.
Yeah. And your field goal percentage numbers were kind of ninth in the league, under 45%. Wake Forest, by the way, plays tonight. The other ACC team in the NIT, quarterfinal game at Texas A&M. Ball game at Reed Arena. Steve Forbes' team trying to continue that season they've had in year two of his administration to get to New York.
I got a crazy stat. You want it now? You want it later?
Let's go.
You want it now?
Sure.
The ACC and the SEC have hooked up three times in the postseason.
Right.
Three. This will be number four tonight. That's 120 minutes of basketball. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know how many times, how many minutes the SEC has led in those games? The SEC, by the way, 0-3 against the Atlantic Coast Conference. Okay. The SEC has led for 6 minutes and 17 seconds of 120 minutes of basketball.
I knew it'd be a big number. I knew the ACC
minutes and 17 seconds.
Right.
That's, again, Notre Dame beating Alabama, an 11 beating a 6.
Right.
Beating by double digits. Right?
Yeah.
That's Miami beating Auburn. That's a 10 seed beating up a 2, beating by double digits. And that's Virginia beating Mississippi State in the NIT. 120 minutes of basketball in the ACC, 3-0.
Right.
And the SEC has led for 6 minutes and 17 seconds in those three games.
There total. You go. Let's jump to the Sweet 16.
But, hey, you know what? Jimmy Dykes, SEC Network, tell you how great their league is. And it's a really good league.
Just not here in the last.
March Matters.
Yeah. Sweet 16 resumes tomorrow night. Duke in action out in San Francisco at the Chase Center against Texas Tech. The real story of the ball game is going to be interior play. 18.5 paint points a game allowed by Texas Tech. It's the fewest by any major conference team since 2008. And where does Duke succeed? Inside. So we're going to see how this plays out now. Blue Devils, pretty successful doing it in the first couple ball games. You see Duke, they're third in major conference play at almost 38 points a game. Texas Tech first in defensive paint at 18.4. They say styles make fights, kid. I think this is what's going to happen.
It's going to be a terrific game.
Yep.
Right? It's just, you can just, the anticipation of the next game for Duke,
right,
given all the conversations, all the media exposure of Kay's farewell tour. Here's Duke again. I mean, Duke, listen, the TV numbers just came out the other day, right? The highest rated game so far in the men's side was Sunday's Duke-Michigan State game.
Mm-hmm.
And the numbers are up for the TV thing, which is great
right.
from that perspective. But Duke moves the needle.
Yeah.
Now, you, whether you love them, whether you dislike them, it doesn't matter. You watch them. You worry about them.
Yep.
You talk about them. I don't care what shade of blue you wear. I don't care what color your team is. None of that matters. You will watch when Duke plays because there's going to be a story regardless of the outcome, whether that's Coach K's last game or, hey, guess what? The tour moves on to the next game.
Yep.
And now it really ratchets up in terms of the pressure, the anticipation, and what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Who is going to be the team, if anybody, that can knock off Duke on their way to a national championship?
We get caught up in sometimes the stat dive here. It may simply come down to personnel, too. It may come down to depth. Texas Tech, as Seth pointed out yesterday with us, Texas Tech is really deep.
Deep, old, experienced,
yeah,
tough,
Duke is
well-coached.
Duke is pushing it to play 7.5 guys.
Yep.
Foul trouble, all sorts of little line items here that to take into consideration tomorrow night.
And you know the other thing, too, Wes? And I hate to even bring it up. But how is the game officiated? Are they going to let Texas Tech maul
That's right.
Duke like what Baylor tried to do and actually didn't try to do, did against North Carolina? Are we going to have 60 free throw attempts? Or are we going to just say, hey, listen, man, Sweet 16, you're playing for the Elite Eight. Roll the ball out. We're not going to blow it. How are the officials? Is it a tight called game? They let them beat each other? I mean, all of that will matter.
Yep.
And not only in all these games, but when you have – a contrast of styles, it really, how's that predicate in terms of how are we going to play the game?
Yep.
Is Duke going to be in foul trouble? Do they have to go to the bench? Or they're just going to say, guys, no blood, no foul. Let's go.
Yeah.
Can't wait. I mean, it's going to be fascinating to watch.
Carolina goes to the floor against UCLA in Philadelphia late night on Friday. Scheduled to start at 9:30. How do you think that's going to go?
It'll be later than that.
Okay. Brady Manek has been a star for Carolina in about the last month, particularly in the two NCAA tournament games. Oklahoma transfer has been fantastic. And he'll be a focal point, certainly, for UCLA. Injury scenario for the Bruins, though, is going to be critical leading up to tip-off on Friday. I'm going to guess Mick Cronin's glad the game's Friday, not Thursday. Here's Manek's numbers through the first two. You see the 54 points, ties Tyler Hansbrough and Charlie Scott. One behind Tyler Zeller, two behind Phil Ford, and four behind Lenny Rosenbluth. Yeah, and if he didn't miss the last 10 minutes of regulation against Baylor, my guess is Brady Manek might have the two-game record at Carolina for points in an NCAA tournament game.
Well, you brought up something that is going to be a storyline. Hawkes, does he go? Can he go? Is he – nobody's 100% at this point in time. But that's a really key piece to UCLA with the way they play. And, you know, Manek's gone nuts. Caleb Love, when he's on fire, beware. I mean, when North Carolina's making threes,
yeah,
they're dangerous, man. North Carolina is scary good, especially with R.J. Davis now at the point. So this is a great matchup. And if you love Blue Bloods now, holy mackerel. Does it get any better than this?
Well, I think the guard play is central to this whole thing. I mean, Campbell and R.J. Davis will be fun to watch. I thought Seth pointed this out yesterday. Jules Bernard, vastly underrated. I think he and Leaky Black kind of have the same role. They're very similar teams when you think about it in kind of the role play that goes on with each guy as a fit in the team.
Yeah, but is this game in the 80s or in the 60s, Wes? That, to me, is the key. Because UCLA can clamp you down now.
They can guard, yep. No question. This may require Carolina to play more 94 feet.
Yeah, I think
and Carolina, right. Carolina cannot get loose with the basketball either. Right. They've done a pretty good job first couple games of not posting double-figure turnovers, throwing the ball pell-mell across the floor, things like that. But again, I think like Duke, and here we go with the similarities between the two programs, like Duke in that last 6 minutes against Michigan State, I think Carolina had their kind of tournament moment against Baylor. Give the lead back, you've lost Manek, and all of a sudden you get – and look.
And Love.
Everybody outside that huddle didn't think Carolina was going to win that game in overtime last Saturday.
I didn't either.
And all of a sudden they won the game, and next thing you know, they've got tournament momentum, and not everybody has that.
Well, here's what
How
else
far does got. It take you? We'll see.
Here's what else they gathered in that game. Toughness, right? That mental edge that, hey, you know what? I don't care what you throw on me. Mm-hmm. We can handle it.
That's it.
When you blow a 25-point lead and now all of a sudden two of your stars are sitting there on the bench wearing cowboy hats and you're like, okay, how are we going to figure this out? Well, they did.
Right.
And to me, that intestinal fortitude of, hey, I don't care, man. We're tough. We can get this done. And again, I go back to narratives.
Right.
How do you change a narrative? Man, North Carolina's soft. They get punched in the face. They don't fight back. How many times have you heard Hubert Davis in the last 2 weeks, 3 weeks, bring that up? Like, no matter what the question is, he goes back to the fact that, hey, you know, the perceived notion was that we're soft.
Yeah.
And he doesn't like it. And I even go back to the Marquette game in the first NCAA tournament game.
Mm-hmm.
North Carolina's wearing them out. And all of a sudden, Marquette wants to get chippy with them. And you saw Hubert Davis' response on the sideline. Like, he was like, well, all right, you want to play? Cool. We'll just take this thing up to 25-point lead. Now what are y'all going to do about it?
Right.
So I think North Carolina mentally kind of likes where they are.
I do too. He mentioned
in his comfortable in their skin.
In his comments yesterday to the media, he talked about, hey, we're having fun. You know, nobody's anxious. Nobody's worried. Nobody's any of that. We're having fun. I think that's certainly been a spark for Carolina.
Yep.
Miami's the third ACC team that goes in the Sweet 16. Of course, they draw Iowa State, this double-figure seed matchup. That you're going to get in Chicago. We've already talked about backcourt play a little bit. It's clearly been a central piece to the Canes' success. Charlie Moore with us yesterday. In case you missed it, you'll hear from Charlie later in the program today. To me, this is really about the highlights you're seeing here. This is Miami in transition a good bit. I think it's the secret to their success, in all honesty, Pac.
kind of a mirror image. I'm telling you, these two backcourts are legit. They are going to be good, and guard play works, man, in this tournament. Always has. It's never gone out of style.
Right.
Even though this is kind of the year of the bigs in college basketball, mm-hmm. we have so many quality big men in the game, more so than we have in years past. But at the end of the day, you got to have guards that value the right. basketball, and both of these teams are excellent in that category.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Hey, don't forget, ACC softball comes your way Sunday high noon off to Notre Dame. We send you for number 7 Duke and the Irish. ACC softball on a Sunday right here on ACC Network and always streaming live on the ESPN app. There you go.
We got some serious top 10 action in the softball world, don't we?
Mm-hmm. Really good teams. Florida State, obviously. Duke is obviously there. It's going to be a good year.
Well, Virginia Tech.
Virginia Tech.
Top 5.
Virginia Tech yesterday, crazy no-nos, right?
Back-to-back na-nas. How about that?
What in the world?
Talk about rude.
Yeah.
We'd like to invite you over. How about we play 2? How about we not let you have a hit?
Yeah. 3 softball teams in the top 7. Florida State, Virginia Tech, and the Blue Devils. Before the last 2 years, the ACC had never had 2 teams ranked in the top 10 at the same time. Now they've got 3 in the top 10 for the 5th straight week. What in the world is going on here?
There's nothing going on other than really good softball. That's mm-hmm. what's going on.
Yeah. The Virginia Tech team yesterday, we talk about the double no-hitters. You got to remember, Duke's program and Clemson's program are basically in their infancy.
Yeah, Duke, the defending ACC champion.
Yeah. John Ribman at Clemson's done a phenomenal job in a very short time through the pandemic. Marissa Young at Duke. I mean, Lonnie and the people at Florida State have had this factory of softball success for years and years.
We know all about them. They're right. legit.
My goodness.
Have been for a long time.
The sport itself also growing, too. Remember the most watched game in the 2021 Women's College World Series had more than 2 million viewers. The most watched men's game in Omaha, the College World Series, had 1.7. Remember last year we talked about the great pitching matchup, Florida State and Alabama and all those things. I mean,
we just had that game the other night in Tuscaloosa. Yeah.
So,
it's a fast. I mean, I think one of the reasons that people are dialed into it is, number one, you can play it. I mean, everybody plays softball, right? So mm-hmm. you kind of watch, oh, these ladies are really good, talented. But the game's quick.
Yeah.
I mean, the games are in, out, and gone. I mean, you know you could sit there and say, all right, I'm committed to 2 hours. Let's get this thing in. And they do it.
Yeah.
And there's runs scored.
That's true.
Unlike some sports that are done in 2 hours and nobody ever scores.
Soccer.
Oh, like soccer.
Is that what you're talking about? All right. Off to baseball, where 7 ACC teams are in the top 25. Tied for most in the country with the Southeastern Conference. 7 of the top 20 scoring teams in college baseball are in the ACC. Your friends at Virginia, our man O'Connor, almost 12 runs a game.
They hit the baseball. I told you, Jake went yard again yesterday, number 13, and 18 straight wins for the Hoos at home.
Yeah. We're going to show you the D1 baseball top 25 here, and it's headlined by Florida State, who is 7th, Virginia 10th, Notre Dame 12th, Carolina, Georgia Tech, Louisville, and Clemson. All in the top 25.
Not surprising.
Yeah.
League's always been good in baseball.
Remember, the Jackets and the Wolfpack of NC State are Saturday night here on ACC Network.
Yep.
And Louisville on Friday night. So 11 of 14 ACC lacrosse teams ranked, including North Carolina, who's the new number 1 after the win at Boston College.
Surprise, it's only 11. That's how good the league is. Seriously, it's almost like, all right, what's wrong with the other 3?
Right.
I mean, that's how dominant this conference is when it comes to lacrosse.
This is not blasphemy. This is the best sport the league has on both sides. Nationally. It's a question, is it not?
Well, here's why I might disagree. The league's great. Don't get me wrong.
Okay.
But when you talk about how many schools are playing the sport.
I understand.
I think that's where it comes into play.
Okay.
mean, there's a lot more people playing softball and baseball.
Clemson starts this sport next year.
So, I mean, but
women's
what
side.
You do have of the folks that do play it, the star power, the teams, the coaches, you name it, it's in this league.
Right.
Men's and women's. Dominant. Dominant.
Yeah. Tomorrow on this show, we're going to talk fencing.
Again.
Amanda Perkowski returns to the Packer and Durham program.
And she was outstanding.
She was. Terrific.
She wants to get into television.
Uh-huh. Guess what? She's already into television.
Well, I'm kind of concerned about our...
Well, yeah, we got there. No shot. The 22 NCAA fencing championships start tomorrow in South Bend. Thus, Amanda's return to the Packer and Durham program.
Irish looking to go back-to-back?
Mm-hmm. Notre Dame's won 11 national titles in fencing. Football's won 8.
My agent was tied into Notre Dame fencing.
No, stop it. Don't even. No.
What do you mean, no?
No, Craig was not involved. Fencing, yeah. Did he fence at Notre Dame? No. Really?
You know how I used to do it like this?
Yeah.
And Amanda said, no, you got to have the arm out. Yep. My agent.
Huh. How about that?
It's all over.
Yeah. Of course, we talked swimming last week in Atlanta.
Hardware.
Virginia's dominance in swimming is unbelievable. 4 teams have won NCAA titles so far in the academic year, tied for the most of any conference. But Virginia last week gave the ACC their 4th and back-to-back. The other thing is the Cavaliers did it in dominating fashion on the women's side.
I told you. Who's in the water, man?
Yep.
Rowing, swimming, diving.
It's the latest national championship. You've seen Mike Noonan, Clemson men's soccer, Florida State, of course, Mark Krikorian, and, of course, NC State's cross-country championship.
Which started all right here.
Started right here.
Yep.
Right here.
Chariot of Champions.
Yeah. That's
got to have a leadership. Got to lead the pack. Pack leading the pack.
Yeah.
That's what it was. All got started. Me and the commish. The man. Jim
all right.
Phillips.
The most national titles in a single academic year is 6.
For the ACC?
The ACC has 4.
Got a chance. Got a chance to match that.
Can you beat it?
Well, if they send us on the road. I mean, you want to win an Addy? You put this show on the road. I mean, I'm not making anything up. It is what it is.
Yeah. Okay.
What are you laughing at?
I'm not.
I don't know why you think that's funny.
How's it correlate on the road to the national title?
The first national championship this year came from what?
Cross country.
And what did we do?
You went and drove the Chariot of Champions.
Did we do the show from the road?
You did.
Yeah,
in the rain, yes.
Do I need to go any further?
Well, we've won 3 others in this league without you being on
no,
the
no.
road.
No, no. Without that, the other ones, it's kind of a dice roll. You want to guarantee one? Let it rip.
I got you.
I mean, if you don't want to go, Wes, that's fine.
No, I'm fine going.
I mean, you didn't go with me to South Bend.
No, I was on the way to football. Thanks.
How'd that work out?
Good.
Did we win an Addy that year?
No, we did not win an Addy in football. So, I got you.
What do you want from me? I mean, how much more evidence do you need?
It's pretty clear cut. You're responsible. Lighting the torch, as it were.
You're starting to come around. Yeah. You're starting to figure it out. You're starting to connect dots.
No telling where we're going to end up next.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham podcast.
Packer and Durham on a Wednesday. Number of guests are coming your way, and it begins in about 20 seconds.
Yeah, let's go. Let's go and bring Dallin Cuff back to the Packer and Durham program. It's been a while, hasn't it?
It has.
For D.C.?
It has, but this will be Dallin's 20th appearance.
Oh, ladies and gentlemen. 20th appearance.
Wow.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen.
Fellas, pleasure. And I haven't been on long enough. I haven't been on since I've seen you guys in person sitting next to each other, which is a bit of a shocker.
Well,
to see you side by side.
Yeah, we've been here since August.
Yeah.
Cranking
protein
it out.
Shakes for everybody.
I don't want to get shaky on you, Pack. If I work out and I don't have anything afterwards, I start doing this and you got to get me off the air immediately.
You know, you got to balance all that stuff out, Dallin, or you just let yourself go.
All
right. And I'm worried about you.
There we go. All right. So I feel compelled to start the visit by saying, who you like? Who do you like in the Sweet 16 from the ACC?
Good question. I think Miami has the best chance to advance. So we've seen, we've known what Miami's capable of the last couple months. I think America in general just hadn't seen them very often. We knew their guards are really good. They've obviously played exceptional. I think, what, 7 turnovers combined in 2 games.
Yeah.
And with Iowa State's defense, though, folks need to realize that's a top 10 team in defensive efficiency. They, and as most teams in the Big 12 are in the top 30, bear in mind the highest team in the ACC is 42, UNC, in terms of their defensive efficiency, and Duke's in the 40s as well. So it's not like this league has been pounded with really good defensive teams, but Iowa State gets up in you, makes you uncomfortable, tries to keep the ball on one side, is very physical in how the tournament's been officiated. They've allowed a lot of physicality to go. So the Miami guards have to be really good yet again. And then that's one thing that's helped them is their consistency, their experience, maybe not in terms of tournament games, but obviously in years and in games played. I mean, they got three six-year guys, as we know. So those guys have to be who they've been, take care of the ball, make shots, which sounds easy, but you got to make shots, you got to make plays. Iowa State can really struggle to score. So I do think this could be maybe a little bit of a low-scoring game. Iowa State wants to make this a grinder, wants to keep this in the 50s, 60s at max. But I think Miami is the best chance to advance out of the three.
Dallin, you know, you bring up something that I hope that we're not talking about going in the weekend, and that's officiating, right?
Yeah.
I mean, for the most part, I think the games have been pretty good with these officials. We did have a case like North Carolina-Baylor, which was just abysmal. But the physicality of the game, you know, what Texas Tech wants to take you to back alley. You just mentioned Iowa State.
Yep.
UCLA will get on you too. You know, how these games are called will be really critical and maybe magnified more so given how much parity that we've had in the men's game that we saw it during the regular season. It really didn't matter. If you didn't bring your A game, you were in trouble. Now we take it to this next level and all these teams are good, right? Everybody knows what's at stake. But how the games are called, I just hope and pray that we don't get to a Saturday and a Sunday and we're still moping and whining about a bad call. This cost a team. There's nothing worse once you get to this stage with everything at stake with the quality of the basketball that we're talking about officials.
Unfortunately, Pac, I almost feel like it's inevitable because it's just there's 8 games on Thursday and Friday. There's 4 games on Saturday and Sunday. At this level, there's usually some sort of something that's going to happen. Now, I know they have very video review in there to try to avoid some of these situations, but at times you're going to have issues. I hope we're not talking about it ad nauseum to your point. But that said, this is how the game's been officiated all year. Very physical. And I know Jay Billis has been beating the drum on this, and he's got the bully pulpit, if you will, in our game in terms of that type of stuff. But I agree with him that we've gone away from the letter of the law in terms of freedom of movement. There's more clutching, more grabbing, more physicality. And that continued into this tournament. That's no different than we see in the regular season. So I think you're going to see some of that. Some teams may have a gripe. Now, that said, I think most teams have adjusted to it. It kind of is what it is. It does benefit those teams like Iowa State and very much so Texas Tech. Like, yeah. Duke has just not seen a team like them defensively. They're number one in the nation in defensive efficiency. They got a bunch of men. The majority of their team are 22 to 24 years old. And they will make you feel them on every single possession. And that wears on you. And it also sometimes wears on officials, and they don't blow the whistle all the time. That's what's going to happen here, I think. You're going to see a continuation of it. I hope we're not talking about refs, but it almost seems inevitable in some regard. But Duke's going to have a challenge today, or to this on Thursday, and this Texas Tech team that just they've not seen. And what's been dangerous about Texas Tech is defensively, as good as they are, they've gotten better offensively. TJ Shannon and Kevin McCullough, they're two really talented wing players. McCullough with the steal right here for folks watching on TV and going the other way, have dealt with injuries throughout the course of the year. And because of that, Bryson Williams developed into an all-league player. Adonis Arms emerged. Kevin O'Banner, if you remember last year from Oral Roberts, who went to the Sweet 16. It wasn't just Max Asemus, the leading scorer in the nation. It was his Robin, Kevin O'Banner, in their pick-and-pop game, and O'Banner making three. So he's had success at the tournament. He's been really good for this Texas Tech team. So they've been improved offensively. They are absolutely elite defensively, and they make you feel them on every single play. And it's going to be an absolute challenge for this Duke team and for this young team to kind of emerge, play through that, and be able to execute down the stretch. I think it's going to be a really, really tight game. I do have the Red Raiders winning in my bracket. I have the Red Raiders beating Gonzaga as well and going to the Final Four. Wow. We'll see if that comes to fruition.
Well, it'd be a hell of a story for Mark Adams, wouldn't it? I mean, just a great story for a first-year coach. You mentioned O'Banner, and I think he's a central figure in the ball game tomorrow night because of the paint touches and the paint scoring that Duke does. And I got to be honest with you, I thought O'Banner just reduced people during the course of the regular season. I mean, he reduced David McCormick at Kansas during the regular season, Dallin. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a guy who can control the paint. And we keep talking about these paint numbers earlier in the show today, Texas Tech limiting teams and Duke exploiting teams inside. Something's going to give here tomorrow night. He seems like a central figure in this.
he's important, but it's more so how they just play defense in general, Wes, in terms of like when they keep it on one side and let you reverse the ball. When you don't reverse the ball, it's hard to get the defense to move and then drive it on that other second or third side. That's part of the problem. They really do a good job of just guarding their yard. Can you guard the man in front of you? Like, but the most base level of defense, they do a great job at that. When they do help, they've got guys in gaps, and their rotations are really good. Bryson Williams and O'Banner will be banging in the interior and make things difficult for Duke. And what's always tough in this game is how Mark Williams will match up. Mm-hmm. And when you look at who he's going to be guarding, if it's Williams, Williams will stretch away from the basket, can knock down threes, you close out, he can go by you. O'Banner is very similar. So in terms of like bigs, a lot of times we want to think, okay, if he's running around the perimeter, how do we punish him on the other side, the offensive side? Very rarely you're going to throw the ball into Mark Williams and say, go to work. That's just not really how Duke plays, and that's not really Mark's game at this point in time. He can score occasions back to his basket, but I don't think you're winning that battle. So I want to see how he plays defensively and how he can impact the game, maybe on the offensive end, rebounding, playing from the dunker spot, drop downs and whatnot, because I do think defensively he's going to have an issue at times chasing guys around and making plays. Not like these guys are, you know, Brady Manick in terms of pick and pop and absolute lethal three-point shooters, but you have to respect – O'Banner is – but you got to respect Bryson Williams' shot. He also can play make. He can take you in the post. He's a very versatile big. So it's going to be a really interesting game, and one that I do think Duke's going to really have a lot of challenge, like I said before.
Now, I thought Duke, the last 5 minutes against Michigan State, gave us a dose of something we haven't seen in a while from them, and that was just this toughness, the will that we are not losing this game. Down five to go. Mm-hmm. Sparty, again, is a great coach. Their team was well prepared. But Duke gave me something. That last 5 minutes, we're like, that was championship basketball. And now North Carolina, fast forward to the next game. North Carolina gave me a dose of that in overtime, where I thought, hey, you blow a 25-point lead. Baylor mauled you to death. The refs aren't helping you out. All that stuff. You let that thing get away. Manick's on the sideline. Love's on the sideline. Hubert rolls out that starting lineup for overtime. You're like, yikes, this doesn't look good. But they reached down and said, no, we're not losing this game, and got the job done. How does that help North Carolina moving forward now that you jump on UCLA this week?
Oh, massively, man. Massively packing. You're right. The thing with North Carolina's team was never their lack of talent. I mean, we know that. It was the intangible stuff, some of the leadership, the toughness, the grit that they hadn't had. And the first time they really showed all year was when they were on the road at Cameron Indoor. So they knew they could do it once. When they were down 9 the first half of that game, they cut it to 2 at the break. Then they came out and controlled the whole second half. So they knew they could do this, but they had to go out and do it. And I'm not going to lie to you guys, when it was 80-80 and it was tied up, I said, this is a wrap, man. There are no way they're winning this game. Baylor's right. Taking this. They have the championship medal. They have the momentum. They were down 25. They battled back. North Carolina's depleted, as you mentioned. Man, was I wrong. I mean, Dontrez Styles, I think he's given really good minutes in the last few weeks. He hits that corner three. Yep. And bear in mind, the Baylor Bears probably wanted him to shoot that. He hits that corner three to start overtime, and they were off and running. Never looked back. Gave them a little bit of lead. Baylor was chasing from that point on, and that showed a lot of grit and toughness and just all the intangible factors you want in a team, and that's important for them to have belief going forward. Against UCLA, you know, this is going to be a really tight game. It's absolutely a game they can win. If Jaime Jaquez is not fully at full strength or full health for the Bruins, that really does help North Carolina as well. He's one of their four guys that can put the ball on the deck and create for themselves. Their teammates can make shots. They're a very versatile offensive team. And make things really difficult. And obviously the experience they have last year, but without Jaquez, they are a little bit different. He can be a difference maker for them. And I do think they may have challenge. And how Cody Riley deals with Armando Bacot, it's going to be a big problem. The pick and pop game with Brady Manick has been a problem for everybody. That guy's shooting he feels like he's shooting 99%. Feels like when he lets it go right now, guys, it's going in. So dealing with him in those screen situations, RJ Davis has been really good. These guys are peaking at the right level, but the belief, the toughness, all the things that haven't been there all year, they've had two big, massive, like eyes of the country on them moments, and they prevailed in both. That really can carry you forward as you go take on a UCLA team that's been here before, but does have some flaws, guys. They have some times where they will play a little bit of ISO ball, defensively they can get disconnected at times. UCLA had a disjointed year too. They missed almost 30 days from December to January because of COVID situations. They've had injuries since Johnny Juzang, Tyler Campbell, maybe now Jaquez, as I mentioned. So I don't think this team is actually where I thought they would be at this point in the year. I don't think they're where they thought they would be. So I think North Carolina can win this game.
All right. By the way, Dontrez Styles, when he hit that corner three the other day, it was his third of the year. That's Boom. Why Better wasn't guarding him, right? Better than that. That cat out there is not knocking it down. All right. Big picture. 15 teams, not named Gonzaga. Who's the most talented one?
most talented, it's Duke, period. I mean, I think you can put Gonzaga in there. The most talented team in the country, just raw talent, is Duke. Guys, if you roll the ball out, pick a gym in the country, you roll the ball out of their starting five, and you roll out any of their starting five, I would put my money on Duke every day and twice on Sunday. The difference is when you add in coaches, scouting, officials, experiences, pressure, all that stuff changes and matters as you compound it into a college basketball game and then into an NCAA tournament game, which they've never been in that situation before. So I think what Duke's issue is, and Wes alluded to me, Pac, you alluded to this, what they showed us in the final 5 minutes of Michigan State, that matters. Because, yeah. I mean, I'm not lying to you guys. I'm sitting here watching the game. They're down 5 or 5 minutes to go. I said, I think this is probably it. I don't think we even seen them prevail in this situation. Remember, obviously, at home against UVA, up, lost. At home against Miami, up, lost. Mm-hmm. On the road at FSU, battling, lost. Like, they had a lot of close games, the few close games they did play in the ACC season, where they weren't able to flip the script late game and control a game down the stretch. They did exactly that. So that's a big growth stem. But that said, this is a really big challenge for them. And I do think the experience stuff is it matters when you look at guys in terms of these experiences. So beating Michigan State was critical. They have all the talent. I've been saying for months, did they have the time to realize that potential? That remains to be seen, but I'm inclined to say that they aren't quite there. I mean, I thought they would have more successful experiences throughout the course of the ACC season and the ACC tournament to prepare them for this moment. But it is what it is. That ball's going up at, 9:50 Eastern time on Thursday, and they are talented as can be. But can you execute in a college basketball game when all the pressure's on?
All right, our traditional question for you. How would you define March Madness so far with our Portuguese word of the day? What word would you come up with for the Portuguese word of the day for that?
Well, I gave our great producer, Brian Ives, the Portuguese word of the day that's going to go to my spiel that I'm thinking of right now. But just to define what it's been, I've used this with you guys before, and I don't remember what it was. But bagunça, which means B-A-G-U-N-C-A, is basically just complete chaos. It's a complete train wreck. So basically, anytime Brazilians are talking about like their government, bagunça. It's a complete mess, like a complete train wreck, like corruption, bagunça. Like that's so. This is what I'm looking at when it's like from an athletic standpoint. That's what this tournament is: complete chaos. The word that I gave Ives though is verdade, V-E-R-D-A-D-E, which means truth. I keep getting asked this week, hey, man, we thought the ACC wasn't good. Now you got three teams in the Sweet 16. Two things can be true at the same time. Guys, we all watched about thousands, it felt like, of ACC basketball games this year. The league itself was not what it's once been. The expectations were not met as far as top to bottom in the league. It just wasn't as good as it has been in the past. The last couple years are this way. I think it's incumbent and important about the league leadership, whether Jim Phillips and everybody else, to realize that You don't want to have too much slippage. And for me, in my mind, it's been three straight years of teams and then the league being, quote unquote, down. That said, that is true. That is a truth. It also is true that these three teams and Notre Dame as well acquitted themselves very well in this tournament and have played to their potential, particularly Duke in terms of talent. We always talked about North Carolina. I picked them to win the ACC preseason. We know what they're capable of talent-wise. They're finally putting it together. Notre Dame played at a high level. Lost a brutal game at Texas Tech, but again, acquitted themselves well. In Miami, we'd seen for the last 3 months, we knew their guards could do this. A lot of people I know that cover this league picked them to beat Auburn. That wasn't that crazy. They were 7.5-point underdogs. That, to me, was crazy. So overall, we've seen these teams perform at a level all the last couple months we knew they were capable of. They've done that. We also know the league is not what it once was, and I think should be. Those things are both true at the same time. And unfortunately, in our society, we don't like nuance and everything's got to be black and white, blue and red, left and right. The truth is somewhere in the middle. And I think there's two things can be true at once here.
Dowling cuff, ladies and gentlemen.
Portuguese word of the day.
Portuguese word of the
you
day.
You only get that here on ACC.
Absolutely right. This doesn't. You don't have that over on that other show you're involved with. No. You only get that here.
That's right.
All those other shows studios, all that online stuff with Christine and Fitz and all that other. Portuguese word of the day is an exclusive to Packer and Durham on ACC Network.
That's it.
100%. It's my favorite thing I do on any outlet that I'm ever on.
That is a lie, but you're very kind to be a part of it.
If we're a guy that comes up with the word truth, you leave us with that nonsense?
You leave with that lie? Okay.
I really do like the Portuguese word of the day. I think
that's fine.
That's fine,
but it's not paying any bills. Let's don't, bluff it. So there we go.
No, it's not paying any bills. Then I guess Daily Wager is my favorite thing I do then.
Now we get it. All right. Be well. Best to your family. See you soon.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham. You know, it's pollen season.
Yes, it is. Every day. Oh, my gosh. You ready to go to Tallahassee?
I'm ready to talk a little Lynx.
All right.
With our next guest.
This is a return visit. And no joke now. I mean, we talk about student athletes on this show and how fantastic they are. This is one of the premier amateur golfers, women's amateur golfers in the world.
That's right.
Please welcome Beatrice Wallen, Florida State. Good to have you back. Welcome to the program. Got a great personality.
Thank you. Love talking
to you. Terrific player. You got a lot going on.
Thanks.
Right? You got a lot going on. I mean, school, scheduling, all this stuff. And oh, by the way, this little thing in Augusta next week. Everything good?
Yeah, the little thing. Yeah, everything is good. I'm excited. It's going to be a lot the few upcoming weeks, but it'll be fun. I'll enjoy it.
I'm going to get right to it.
Oh, boy.
What do you got lined up as a caddy for Augusta? How's that work?
It's actually going to be my brother. He's been caddying me the past 2 years at Augusta, so hopefully he will know the course, and we'll just have fun together and enjoy it. The last year I get to play it, so it will be a lot of fun.
How much do you think your brother I'm gonna let you answer this for your brother.
Oh boy.
Do you think your brother has a price in which I could eliminate him next week at Augusta? Can he be bought, is the question.
I don't know. It has to be something really good, because I think he's more excited than I am, and I'm pretty excited. So I don't know about that one.
I'm not breaking up family. There's no way I'd ever do that. But I'll tell you what, Augusta, you know, for anybody that has any love affair with golf, you know what it is, right? When you played it for the first time, and now you get a chance to go back, is there a moment etched in your memory about this place and what it's meant to your golf game?
The first time I got to play it before COVID and everything, it was incredible. It was so much people out there cheering you on, and just like the atmosphere was crazy. Mm-hmm. And I think I will remember that for the rest of my life. Just teeing up on the first hole and like seeing the big crowd standing beside the fairway and just like, oh, I need to hit this good. I need to like hit this in the fairway. So it was a lot of fun, and I hope to see a lot of people there this year as well. So it's going to be fun.
Beatrice, here's the thing about this event. And it's got an ACC flavor to it. I mean, Jennifer Kupcho was very successful in it. You've had two top tens in it. I mean, the idea that you guys take your success at the collegiate level and then go play in this amateur event. And I think the line sometimes people get blurred with what women's amateur golf and women's college golf are, right, in the United States. But I think it really shows the value of the collegiate game on the women's side transferring to the amateur level. And they're amateur players across the country. They're not just college amateurs. What's the similarities of this event with a college tournament, and what are the differences, and how stark and how different are they?
I would say they're both like great competition. There's great players that's going to play there. And I feel like it's more international players that are going to play Augusta, which will be fun. People from Europe, where you've been playing with people before other tournaments, you get to see them again, kind of catch up. And also just like the atmosphere is very different from like an amateur event to a college event. Especially Augusta. I mean, it's going to be a lot of people there, hopefully. so it's very different. And at Augusta, we get to do so much other things outside of golf. We get to go to dinners. We get to have a dinner at Augusta National in their clubhouse. So that's going to be a lot of fun. And just like the whole thing is just an experience you're never going to forget.
So, like, how many pimento cheese sandwiches do you think you'll put in your bag?
I mean, as many as my caddy can carry.
See, Beatrice, that would be, in my opinion, your brother is your brother and bless, but that would be where Packer would be an advantage to you if you put Packer on the bag.
I'm just saying.
Because Packer would be
will
an
I
eight
have
to
any,
Packer would
any
put eight to ten
than?
Champ. No, well, that's a good question, too. Would you have any sandwiches left? That's a fair question to ask. But you'd shove eight or ten in the bag, wouldn't you?
I think it might be a bit disrespectful to mark my ball with a pimento cheese sandwich, but that's a whole beside the point. By the way, you need to give a shout-out to your brother. What's your brother's name, in case he's watching?
Rickard Wallin.
Really?
That's very Swedish.
There's got to be a nickname. There better be a nickname in there somewhere. I mean, you know, hey, Caddy, come on, 7-9, let's go.
Exactly. This is the only opportunity I have to, like, I get to be the boss and I get to boss him around and be like, can you pick that up, please? And can you put this in the bag? And
that's nice.
So I look forward to it.
I like it. By the way, Florida State women's golf team, how are we doing? Big picture.
Boy.
We're doing good. We started off the year with a win and then second place. And now today we're leaving for our third tournament. So I think we're all excited to get going again. And hopefully we will do good.
You will. There's no doubt. Man, you are so busy. It's crazy how much fun you're getting ready to have.
Anything we need to know real quick before we say goodbye about the Corn Ferry Tour or PGA Tour qualifying? Anything we need to know about those lines of, you know, any kind of, you know, how your social calendar fits for those events? Everything good?
Everything is good. Yeah.
Yeah. We got it.
They're busy. They're very busy.
No, they're very busy.
Hey,
yes.
You tell that dude, John.
Yeah,
that,
tell John that, you know.
We're keeping an eye on him. He
we're
needs
watching.
To treat you right. All right. You make sure he understands that. He was on the show before.
Yeah, he does.
If we got to straighten him out, you just give us a call.
And quit taking his money and quit taking his money in little pitch and putt games, too, by the way. We heard that story. Okay. So you need to keep, let his money be his money and your money eventually your money, right? That's the way that works.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
We'll see.
Yeah. Hey, listen, we're proud of you.
Keep it going.
Keep it in the short grass. We'll be rooting for you.
Thank you so much.
Beatrice Wallin of Florida State. She is terrific.
She's awesome.
And,
but can she play? Oh, my goodness. Can she play?
By the way, also potential ACC players. Rachel Keane's at Augusta National this year. Beatrice Wallin's at Augusta National. There are a handful of ACC players competing. We will give you that list next week.
Yeah. Very cool.
Yeah, very cool.
To have your brother carrying the bag is kind of – that's a great story, too.
They are headed off, by the way, to Kiwi for an event on Friday and Saturday and Sunday before going then to Augusta.
The Packer and Durham Podcast.